Scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Amen.
For the next two sessions, I will talk about he whom the Lord commends. If we are commended by the Lord, what a nice thing it would be. But if we do act in goodness and do something good only to earn the commendation of the Lord, then we wouldn't be able to be commended. Those who are really good, it's just natural for them to do something good. They don't do it to earn the recognition of others or the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3:12 says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Those are really good. It's natural. It's just the basic. It's their duty, and they think it's not something to boast of. They don't have to brag about it. But when it is actually revealed, they feel embarrassed. On the contrary, those who have little goodness, if they do something good, just a little bit, then they want to reveal it. Because they feel proud. They want others to recognize them. The nobler, the humbler. So they don't have any... Because these people who are not good, they don't have so much goodness in them. So once there is just a little bit of goodness, they want to reveal it. Matthew 6:1-4 says, Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You want others to recognize your good work, and if you resent when others don't, there's no reward for you. Because you did those good works wanting something back, something in return. So there is no reward for you. Some people give testimonies. I helped these people. I did this, I did that. I prayed this much and I received the answer and I received the blessings. So hearing those testimonies, you try to imitate them. Of course, it is good to imitate what is good. It is good to learn from other people's examples. But the problem is, you only imitate the outward actions. Without changing your heart, you cannot receive true blessings. Oh, they did this, they did that, they helped others, and they gave to God, and they gave to God a lot of offerings, so they received blessings. So you think you will receive blessings if you do the same. Then probably you wouldn't be able to receive those blessings. So if you are not receiving blessings as much as you want, then you might want to check if you had those desires to be recognized by the Lord, by others. So let us look back on ourselves, deep part of our heart. Also, you sometimes you think you did well and you're proud. You think others, they don't recognize me, they don't know, but I did well and I've done well, and you are proud of yourself. It's also the same because you don't have so much goodness in you. Just because you did something little good, you are proud. You feel proud of yourself. So that is not the proper way of goodness either. So what is the kind of heart that God really recommends? It is the heart of the unworthy servant. Luke 17:10 says, so you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, after doing all the things, you know, not some things, do some things and don't, and others not, but do all the things which are commanded you and say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Oh, isn't there somebody who wants, who has seen my work? Isn't the Lord gonna praise me? Even after doing all the things which are commanded, you can just say, you have to say, I'm just unworthy servant. I'm unworthy slave. I've done only what I'm supposed to do. So even though there is no evident praising from God right away, it doesn't mean He won't do it undeserved. He will bless you, certainly. So let us check whether we were pleasingly doing all the good things, even though nobody is recognizing us. Also, you might have done good works. Yeah. Just because you are leaders and you have to earn the recognition of the members. So for us to be able to earn the recognition and commendation of the Lord, what do we have to do? It was preached during the two-week special revival meeting in 1996 with the title, Flesh and Spirit. And it was the ninth session, Those Whom the Lord Commends. So I'll deliver this message in the view of flesh and spirit. This message contains the methods to be loved and recognized in families, homes, workplaces. And it talks about this narrow-mindedness and broad-mindedness. And I hope you will learn this message and make yourself lovable and worthy to be praised and commended. And you will be commended by your neighbors, your family members, and your friends. Romans 14:18 says, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. So what do we have to do to be commended by the Lord? First, when there is a problem, we shouldn't get angry, quarrel, or have uncomfortable feelings, or argue about it. If other people are acting exactly according to your desires, then there won't be any problem. But just because others are doing what you don't want them to, then if you get angry and if you have hard feelings, then you cannot be commended by the Lord. So when there is a problem, this problem doesn't have to be something big. It can be small problems in your daily lives. As small as your, just a little subtle change of your feelings. Even though it's not something so big, even though something, nobody is really harming you. You can just consider the cases, the subtle changes in your feelings, small problems in your daily lives, when somebody is not really to your liking, then you can think about those cases. If your feelings are hurt, if there is fluctuations of your mood, then God cannot help but say you are narrow-minded. Those people cannot really receive blessings. And they are not just by God, but even by people, they cannot be recognized. Our relationship doesn't end between God and us. We have relationships with so many other people in our lives. And to be commanded by God, we follow goodness. We give to God. We confess our love to God. We praise Him. We give glory to Him. But if we have problems with people, if we get angry, if our feelings are hurt, and you argue, then your prayers and praises, they cannot be really acceptable to God. So to be commanded by the Lord. Of course, you can work for the Lord. And there are many good things you can do. But there are also other problems, so this is the part I'm talking about, the problems, so that we can change them. Of course, you can praise God. You can offer worship services, you can give offerings to God. So these parts, I suppose you are doing fine, you are doing well. So what I'm trying to talk about is the other part, that you are not really doing well, being narrow-minded. So when you have a problem, if you get angry, quarrel, or have discomfort, or argue about it, then you are giving a hard time to other people too. If people around you will have to suffer, according to your benefit, your feelings are changed. So when you do work, when you work in church or in your household or company, because of you, the mood becomes serious, cold. The people have to watch how the wind blows with you. So there, if you are not recognized or commended by people, how can you be commended by the Lord? So this is what we want to check. How much commendation are we, how much are we commended by the people around us? Let us consider our family. If the husband, the father is narrow-minded, the whole family will suffer. The children, they have to watch how the wind blows about their parents. It's actually, if the children are doing that, it's the parents' fault. They have to do that because of the parents. There is a quarrel between husband and wife. They give hard time to each other. Suppose the father is giving hard time to the mother, and the mother has so much sorrow. She doesn't. So that's why the children have to watch the mood of the mother, and they have to try to please her. You might think they are lovable, they are lovely. But actually, they are actually trying to see how the wind is blowing, how the wind blows. They are trying to read the mood of the parents all the time, constantly. It's stressful. You know, they are nervous. They're tense because you are sad. So some of you have been raised in such families, then you'd feel how it is like. But when you grow up, you didn't. Some of you don't remember how you were like in your own family when you were children. Suppose your father drank a lot, and he would curse, or there's domestic violence. Suppose you had that kind of father. And how much have your mother and you children suffered? But once you become a father, you give excuses. Oh, I'm working so hard to provide roof over their head and food on their table. I'm under so much stress and I have to let it out somehow. You don't think about how much they are suffering because of you. So you have to get rid of this kind of behavior. Also, when parents get irritated, they get angry, then the children, of course, they wouldn't like it, so they just don't want to come home early. They want to stay outside. They want to hang out with friends. as long as possible. So they don't want to talk to their parents. So when these things happen, the parents have to put the blame on themselves, but they put the blame on the children. Then the relationship between parents and children will be only alienated, even more. Because of your hard feelings, anger, and all these things of the parents, the children are suffering, even though you don't express them. Suppose in old times, the mothers used to, most mothers, they used to suppress their feelings. So they were suffering. So they looked very suppressed, oppressed, and depressed. So the children will suffer together. So whatever you have to change, if you can change them, then the darkness, the sorrow, the despair, the depression of the children will also go away. So all these kinds of unfavorable feelings, hard feelings, all these things will affect your children, affect the whole family. And if there is a quarrel between husband and wife, it's not just feelings. Sometimes these feelings pile up, and these feelings pile up, and it shows as physical problem as well. You shouldn't give excuses saying, oh, it's because of my husband, or because of my wife, because of this problem. You have to, if you begin to put the blame on other things, environments, situations, then there is no solution to the problem. The first thing you have to change is yourself. Then the family will have peace and light. Suppose the parents have a lot of quarrels, arguing, and all these things. Then if the children are raised in this kind of situation, can they put the blame on the parents? Of course not. Those who are seeking spirit, even if there is no peace in the family, you can become the light. And you can have the desire to become the light in your family and follow goodness, pursue goodness, and the Lord will be pleased. So if there is your family members are not believers, then you can pray for them to become believers. Little children, the students, the youths, because of these environments, family situations, you are suffering, and because of that, you might begin to complain. But in order not to get affected by those situations, you can think about the love of the Father, love of the Lord, love of the Shepherd, and you can fill up your heart with the love of God. But if you just indulge yourself in worldly things, computer games, and all those things, and complain, then there is no solution. So you can think about Mary Magdalene and change your mind. Then God would be pleased. And the family will be evangelized through those good students. Then the family will have peace and happiness. So the first thing that we have to do to be commended by the Lord is in problems. We must not have any anger, quarreling, or argument, or hard feelings. Suppose you are not doing those things, you don't have those things, but you have some people who have around you, who have those things around you. So, as an example, I'm talking about the parents and children. Suppose your spouse or this co-worker is somebody like that, somebody who always gets angry. Please do not say, oh, that person has to listen to this message. And also, suppose you have to deal with these people who complain a lot, who have a lot of hard feelings. Then also there is a part that you have to do in the proper way to react to such people. You shouldn't think, oh, they have to listen to this message. My boss has to listen to this message. My parents have to listen to this message. And please do not apply the message to other people, but only to yourself. And especially leaders, workers in the church. If there are people who have a lot of hard feelings, other people will suffer. If there is any discomfort, they would show it. You know, they sulk and they express their hard feelings. And they have these fluctuations of their emotions so much. They get emotional. So you don't know how to please them. Some, you know, you don't know when they will get emotional. At what point? You don't know. You don't be able to guess when they at what point they would get emotional. So you always have to be very careful. So in any case, you have to just look back on yourself. Actually, your words have a lot of effect on other people too. In my case, when I sometimes dine out with my mother, Mrs. Lee, and we ate in a place where we went for the first time. Suppose the food is not good. So I said, the food is not good. It's not delicious. But Mrs. Lee says, I wasn't aware what I was saying. I just said, it's not delicious. And Mrs. Lee was saying, oh, I was just eating, but, as you say it, as I think about it, oh, yeah, it's not good. It's not delicious. So they are affected by my words. So even though I feel it's not delicious, if she's enjoying the food, then maybe later I will subtly mention it or try to say that maybe we don't have to come to this restaurant next time. So I realized that I'm just saying this freely, you know, but these words affect others and it might cause the changes in the mood and the changes in the feelings and emotions of other people. So if you are giving hard time, if you make others feel bad, then it is very, actually, it is very evil. You know, those who are evil, they are very honest to their feelings. If they are hurt, they have to say they are hurt. And they have to express their feelings. But it's not something good. You know, to maintain peace, you should be able to maintain peace all the time. It's just because your feelings are hurt, just a little bit you have to express it so that there is a little bit of sorrow you have and you have to express it. Then other people, they will suffer, they will worry. How about those who have lost the fullness of grace and spirit? And just like you're putting a nameplate on you, other people, they know it.
So
it means you are quite evil in that sense. Because you're causing others to try to find, see the mood with you. So if you have these feelings, you are causing hard times to others. And once, just a little bit, if you don't like something, you are hurt and you are offended. And those people, they have a lot of complaints. They don't know. Sometimes they don't know they have a lot of complaints. So let us think about ourselves, if we have a lot of complaints or not in our church lives or in our why does it have to be there? Why does this have to be done this way? Why does it have to be? There are some people in the world, you know, in local government offices, some residents, they, you know, file complaints day after day. Why isn't this being fixed? Why isn't this being fixed? Why isn't that being fixed? So they complain. They file complaints. They might think they are righteous citizens, but actually they are giving hard time. Of course there are discomforts, uncomfortable things in life. Or they think it's right, but according to the policy, it's not right. And they are so honest to their own feelings that why do you not change this quickly? Why do you not do this? Suppose it is something right, that your request is right. But suppose the local government, they don't have the budget to fix it. But if you go to them every day and complain, then there is no solution. They are only giving our time to the civil workers. So, oh, this is uncomfortable, you know, after service, we are going out and there are so many people are pushing around. Of course, it is uncomfortable. But if you think in this way, oh, there are so many people in this church, it takes time to go to the restaurant after the service so to get the noodles. Oh, there are so many people, so we are a big church, and when we go to Canaan Sanctuary, the new sanctuary, and we'll be so happy. What would the Lord say? He will say you are good-hearted. But if you complain, oh, how come there are so many people? How come, why is he pushing me? Why is she pushing me? And if somebody pushes, you have to look at them with these eyes. And so it's not that other people are making you uncomfortable, but you have to realize that you have a lot of discomfort in you. And if you get rid of them, you can be very comfortable. Even though other people are touching you, what does it matter? There's no bruises or anything like that. So the truth of God is showing us a comfortable way. Suppose your boss, you are the boss, and your co-workers or your subordinates didn't produce as much fruit as you wanted, as much outcome as you wanted, and if you get angry, then they will have to be nervous. They'll have to suffer so much. In movies or TV series, there are some bosses and they have a separate office, and the people who are working for him, they have their offices and they have to get approval. They have to make a report. And this boss has a lot of hard feelings, evil feelings, and he has a lot of discomfort. So if he doesn't like the result, then he will just throw away this document and he'll get angry at these subordinates, at the people who are working for him. Then they will try to make others make the report. And they don't want to do it themselves. But if the boss is commending his workers, and they, as they get commanded, they will get more encouraged and they will work harder. So they want to talk to their bosses more and more. So if you are a leader or the boss, you might want to think about yourself what kind of person you are. And also those who have a lot of hard feelings, if there is any trouble, any problem, they talk about it over and over again. And with that, they give hard time to others too. This is very evil. Suppose there was a problem. You didn't like it. Somebody stopped what you wanted to do. You were trying hard to achieve something. And some people, they only pointed out the negative points. And you don't like that fact. Then you have that in your mind. Of course, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't take it personally. But you took it personally. And when others, those people who stopped you made a mistake, you talk about it. So you pay back. And you remember that the other people suppressed you, the other people objected to you, so in your relationship with those people, when there's a problem or if they make a mistake, or when they try to do something, you criticize them, you stop them, you try to point out negative things in their plans. This is to make trouble. This is the meaning of quarreling. So if there is any hard feeling, if you remember it, if you keep it in mind, if you remember it, if you don't forget about it, and if you have hard feelings, then this is something that God, the Lord, cannot command. Other people, they have these facial expressions. They become aggressive. They raise their voices. And their feelings deteriorate. And eventually, they will say something that will pierce the heart of other people. Because of those things, the husband and wife, they'll be alienated. And because of these words, so they offend each other, they hurt the feelings of each other. But you can't control your hard feelings and evil feelings. It'll only lead to unfavorable outcomes. If you are good hearted, you will check if your words might have offended others. If you said, oh, because you didn't like something, you outwardly expressed it. Oh, I'm offended. I don't like it. So the whole mood of the group went bad. But just thinking about it cannot change you. You always have to check yourself and you have to try to change yourself. Oh, I'll not do it next time. Just by thinking like that, you wouldn't be able to change. Even the unbelievers, they say, they make a promise, I'll never do it. They apologize. And they promise they will never do it, but they cannot control their own heart, their own feelings and mind. Only by the help of the Holy Spirit we can cast away these hard feelings from that are in our heart. So let us check if your words are offending others. Those who are offending others, they don't realize that. They just say, I said what I had to say. And I said it for the sake of other people. Of course, there are some cases where other people, those hearers, they are so narrow-minded and you said what you really had to say and they are offended, it's on them. But if many people are offended by you, then you have to check yourself. And you also say, oh, other people are giving me hard times too. And if you are giving such excuses, then you can never change yourself. So you have to put the blame on yourself all the time and you have to receive the help of the Holy Spirit. So, senior pastor, explain. Suppose other people said something evil toward you. Yes. Let's say he did something evil to you first. But did you just stay quiet? You said something back in return. Then you did something wrong too. When you explain to others about that situation, do you explain in a very objective way? The other person said this, but I had this feeling, so I said this back. It's very difficult to find such people. So your words that might offend others, let us check and it shouldn't be happening. And let us check ourselves with humbleness.
또 이에 대해서는 다음 오직 주께서 칭찬하신 자 두 번째에서 또 자세히 설명하고
And I'll explain about this in more detail in the second session of those whom the Lord commands.
가르치는 사람으로서 진리를 이루었다라고 할 때 가르치면서 이러한 모습은 있지 않은지 또
And you have to check all these things as a leader especially. Proverbs 12:16 says a fool's anger is known at once but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Just because the situation is a little hard, if you speak unfavorable words, offending words, then the enemy devil will begin to work. But if you suppress your feelings, and if you try to get rid of the feelings themselves, then there won't be any incidents or situations that will cause your anger or irritation or resentment. Getting angry and all those things, I believe it was all in the past. And if you are being changed, there shouldn't be any work of the flesh of getting angry. throwing temper tantrum. Even though it is not shown outside, it is not revealed outside. But if you just stay quiet because your feelings are hurt and if you are suffering because of others, it is also evil. I hope you will change yourselves in these matters too. Maybe there are so many things that get on your nerves, offend you. And why do these things happen?
왜 내겐 짜증낼 일이 많이 생기고 싫고 답답한 일들이 많이 생기는가?
Why are there so many things that offend you?
환경이나 주변 사람들이 문제가 아니라
not your circumstances or situation, but it's because you are evil. You have a lot of evil, and because of that, you are angry even by very small things. Your spouse, your children, your parents, your boss, your colleagues, your subordinates, why do they give you a hard time? You don't have to put the blame on them. It's just that you have a lot of feelings of untruth. So whenever they act in a different way than you want, then you get angry. You're offended. You're uncomfortable. So actually, it's yourself making yourself uncomfortable. Some people think, oh, man of spirit, man of Holy Spirit, they'll be comfortable, they'll be happy. Even though other people are giving them, they shouldn't. You think they have their spouse has good faith, their children are good, they don't have financial problem. So in their everyday life, they don't have any problem. That is why they are always smiling. That's not true. It's not because there are no problems, but because they have cast away evil from their heart, they don't consider anything problem. It's the same. Everybody can get on your nerves. Some people misunderstand you. Of course, it happens to everybody. But those who are in Holy Spirit and Spirit, they feel the change of their feelings. So when there is a change of feelings, they prayed about it and they cast it away. So they don't have any hard feelings. So even in these situations, they are comfortable. Not because there are no situations, that they are peaceful. Of course, there are winds and waves and everything. And yet, because they have no evil in their hearts, their heart is at peace. It's not because they have a good environment. If you cast away evil from your heart, you can also have peace of your mind all the time. So if you cast away evil from your heart, there will be no incident that can get on your nerves. You don't have to suffer from other people. There won't be any incidents or events where you will get angry. It's not because of other people, but you have to acknowledge the fact that it's because of your own evil. Because you have evil, you get angry. And because of that, peace of the family is broken. And because of that, your children go astray. They become troublemakers. It's the same with the work, your company, your school, church. Then if you are clothed with the garments of the Lord, even though the situations haven't changed, many things will be changed. The situations, there still are people who are offending you, who are giving you a hard time, and all those things who are pointing out your mistakes, and all those things. There are many events where you might get angry or resent. But if you get rid of all those hard feelings that are in you, evil from you, then you'll feel different about the same situations. The Bible tells us that somebody strikes you on the right cheek, you turn to him the other also. And you have this kind of heart. And you'll have smiles all the time. Even enemies will be your friends. Even evil people will be on your side. You'll have peace in your heart so that other people will change. It means other people are changing because of you. And if you say something bad, even good mood will change into bad mood. But if you say words of goodness, and even though the situation right now is sorrowful and dark, those who are saying that, saying those dark things, they will shut their mouth, close their mouth. Even though other people are complaining, when you say good words,
it's not that you
say those things with the wish that they will shut their mouth. But you can just talk about good things that can make other people happy. What is the best topic for us? Talk about the shepherd. Talk about the signs and wonders that are shown by God. Then other people, even though they were complaining, soon the mood will change. So wherever you are, you can give happiness. You can cause happiness and smiles to other people.
This,
the problem is not your environment or situations, but yourself. James 1:19 says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Verse 20, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." You think you are right, so you are right. You have every right to be angry. But getting angry itself is evil, and it does not achieve the righteousness of God. So we have to cast it away. So God says slow to anger. So does that mean we have to keep our anger? Of course not. At first, we have to try to do this. First, we have to be slow to anger. Suppose we were getting angry 10 times, and now you try to get angry only 8 times, 5 times, 3 times, 2 times, and we can get rid of it completely. And getting angry itself is something that God hates. It is against the righteousness of God. So it is opposite of righteousness of God. So we can have a broad heart only when we get rid of all these evil feelings, evil things from our heart. Then once we do that, we will be able to accept so many people. Then God will appoint, establish these people. The church is in need of such people. Rather than praying to become a leader, changing your heart will be faster to become a leader. And God will use it. You can also think about it in physical sense. Suppose your boss, or whether they're boss or colleagues or anybody, friends or neighbors, whether workers in the church. Suppose others are good, it'll be good. You'd want to hang out with those who are good-hearted. You know, they understand your heart. They are not rude. And they are encouraging, and they show your way with a bright wisdom and with encouraging words, and you'd want to be friends with them, and you'd want to talk with them again and again. In any case, they don't ever get angry, but they are calm, and they will try to solve the problem. So they are gracious. And they are edifying. So because they have no hard feelings, just by seeing them, you are comfortable. You feel comfortable. You'd want that, you want others, you would want to hang out with those people. But what I'm saying is, actually, you can be such people. You can show such goodness to others. When you become such people, the Lord will commend you, and He will establish you. Will lift you up. You would wish that you'd want such people to be around you. You easily say, and you can be such a person. Oh, my leader, my group leader, my district leader will be like a senior pastor. Oh, senior pastor doesn't do that, but she does that. He does something different. You shouldn't be saying this. But you yourself can become like the senior pastor, and you can serve your family members and people around you. So the Father and the Lord will be able to commend you. Secondly, to become those whom the Lord commends, you shouldn't have any resentment, disappointment in your heart. Suppose people around you are not as good-hearted, You think, oh, my parents have to listen to this. My colleagues have to listen to this. My boss has to listen to this. Have you ever thought this way?
Oh,
there are some problems, difficult situations. And I explained that because of these things, people suffer. And have you thought, oh, I was suffering actually? And in this case, you can check yourself with this second point. If other people are saying something, you know, accuse you groundlessly, you shouldn't be agitated by such things. Other people are evil and they express their hard feelings, evil feelings, they throw a tantrum and, you know, you have to watch the mood with them and you suffer. But you shouldn't think you are suffering because of them. Actually, you don't, your peace of mind shouldn't be affected. Even though other people are saying that might get on your nerves, that might hurt your pride, you shouldn't be affected by such things. Suppose other people are giving you a hard time, saying bad things, and you have no reason to be affected. They are saying those things because their feelings are hurt. It's up to them. They are not changed enough. Because of that, why do you have to be affected? There's no reason for you to be affected by those things. Other people, they have hard feelings, so they express their hard feelings. And you shouldn't say, oh, I'm suffering because of that, because of my boss. Rather than that, you might want to try to understand them. They're suffering. Maybe you might want to try to get their feelings okay. And because of other people's evil, you don't have to be affected by those evil things of those evil people. The Bible says, do not complain because of evildoers. But of course, mostly, usually, you get affected by those people who act in evil. And it means your heart is still narrow-minded. And these people cannot be commanded by the Lord. Suppose there is a small fishbowl full of water. And if you throw a stone in them, the water will be spilled out. It will splash out. And suppose there is a big lake. And if you throw a stone in them, the same size, there won't be any problem. They'll just go in. We are, as long as we are affected by our environment situations, then it means we are narrow-minded. We shouldn't give excuses. We have to acknowledge the fact that we are narrow-minded. You can keep your mind yourself. It doesn't have to be affected by evil people. If others are getting angry, suppose you can check if you have done something wrong, if you made a mistake. You can check yourself. But if they are groundlessly saying things and getting angry, then you can just forget about it. Sometimes things happen. That is to be broad-hearted. There are good things and bad things and ups and downs in life. How can one have only good things in his life? So, when things happen, when evil people do show their evil, we might try to understand them. Maybe they had a quarrel at home, or they had a problem. We can just try to make them happy. And because of them, your feelings are hurt. And for the whole day, you don't feel good. Suppose you came to church. And some other people are sitting on the seat that you wanted to sit. And you're unhappy. And you're unhappy for the rest of the day. This is something foolish. Those who are broad-hearted, their feelings are not agitated easily. And those who are narrow-minded,
그런 사람에 대해서 잘 기억해요.
You know, they remember all these things if other people offend them.
아, 진리, 하나님의 말씀은 잘 기억도 못 하는데요.
You know, they don't remember the word of God, but they remember very well. Even 5 years, 10 years ago, somebody said this to me. Somebody said this to me.
저 그걸 보면요.
Then,
말씀을 기억을 하지.
I would think,
변화되면
그래요. why don't you remember the word of God?
이기도 할 텐데요. 이게 변화되고 하면요, 누가 뭐 나쁜 말을 했던 기억이 잘 안 나요.
So as you are changed, you cannot really remember what the other people said to you.
하려고 해서 그렇지.
Offending words.
기억나고 하지 않아요.
You can't really remember them. So how comfortable?
그런데 아, 그 사람이 무슨 말을 이렇게 해서
Oh, that person said this to me, and I was offended. And you remember it, and you never forget. It is to be small-minded, narrow-minded. Then you feel hard, uncomfortable. You'll suffer. And some secular people, there is a new disease called 화병, which is anger disease, because they harbor this anger, and they don't forget. It's because of being narrow-minded and your hard feelings. I hope you will change. There are people in the Bible who had a broad heart, who are broad-minded. It is David. 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel chapter 16, David was running away from his son Absalom's rebellion, and there was a person, Shimei, who was cursing him, throwing stones. David was still the king. Of course, there is a rebellion. And he was running away. David was running away, but he was still the king. And this person was cursing. And so David's men said, we'll kill him right away. But David said to just leave him. If he had the narrow-mindedness, he'd have had been offended by his words and he'd have killed him or dealt with him. You know, they'll make a case out of it. You have to solve this. Otherwise, if it is not resolved, your feeling is not resolved. But David didn't act that way. He didn't have any hard feelings or anything like that, but he just tried to look back on himself. He didn't make a case out of it, or he didn't have any hard feelings. So he just dealt with it in only good way. So he only accepted it as the will of God. And he only wished everything would be done according to God's will. 2 Samuel 16:12 says, Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. So even though other people are cursing you, showing evil to you, if we act in goodness, God can pay us back with goodness. If we have broad-mindedness like David, then we wouldn't suffer because of situations. We'll just leave everything to God and we'll have thoughts that can change our feelings into happiness and joy. We will not suffer. We will only think in the view of God, so we will not think in evil, but only in goodness. So those who are broad-minded, they will only think in goodness, and they can be commanded by the Lord. So what is the reason that the people resent something? It's because they haven't cast away fleshly attributes. Galatians 5:24 says, Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So fleshly love, they want something in return. When it is not filled, they suffer. After you cast off all this fleshly love, no matter how other people are acting toward you, you don't resent anything. You just, you're just happy. You can always have a smile on your faces. This is the kind of person that the Lord can command. Let me conclude the message. Deuteronomy 10:13 says, And to keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. The word of God, the commandments, are given for your happiness, for your good. So I talked about the peace of the family, peace among the people around you.
여러분이 행복하고 사랑받는 길을 제시해 주고
And I talked about the ways to give happiness and peace to other people so that you can be loved by them.
행하면 또 주변에도 인정
And also if you act in this way you'll be commended you'll be loved and furthermore you can be loved by the Lord and God And if you are commended and praised, you'll be able to evangelize a lot of people.
더 풍성한 열매로 내어드릴 수 있습니다. 여러분이 가정, 이웃, 일터에서 대인, 큰 마음이 되어 그리스도의 향기를
If you become a broad-minded person in your workplace, in your family, in your church, then there'll be revival in the church. There'll be good things. People would want to be comforted by you, and they will trust you because they trust you. They'll accept the gospel that you preach, and they will follow your guidance. But if you have evil, even after preaching the gospel, if other people say something offending, or if they act rudely, then your feelings are hurt, and you get angry, and the work you've been doing becomes nothing. So you shouldn't have any hard feelings, evil feelings, so that you can give out the aroma of Christ. And bear a lot of fruits of evangelism. It's the same with peace of the family. If the husband is broad-minded, the wife is happy. Of course, so are the children. But if the husband is narrow-minded, the wife will not be happy. The husband will get be unhappy by small things. He will get angry, and he will say, just follow my lead. Then the peace will be broken. So I hope you will be a broad-minded husband. And not just about husband. So is the case with the wife and the children. So if you change your heart with the truth, then you'll be able to be commended by the Lord. I hope you will quickly cultivate such attributes and become true children who are loved by God. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
좋으신 아버지 하나님 감사합니다. 오늘은 오직 주께서 칭찬하시는 자의 모습을 두 가지로 살펴보았습니다. 어떠한 문제를 만나더라도 짜증하거나 불평하거나 또한 불편함을 또한 어떤 문제시 삼지 아니하는 악한 감정이 없는 모습 그러한 모습일 때에 아버지 앞에 사랑과 칭찬을 받는다 하였습니다. 또한 누가 나를 힘들게 하며 어렵게 하고 괴롭게 하여도 불평하거나 원망하지 않고 서운해하지 아니하는 또한 반대로 선을 쫓아 행할 때에 주님이 칭찬하시며 또한 내가 있는 곳에 빛이 임하여서 어둠이 물러가고 기쁨이 감사가 또한 아버지 원하고 바라는 응답과 축복이 임할 것입니다. 이렇게 우리 성도님들의 삶이 변화되어져서 아버지의 사랑과 인정과 칭찬을 받고 머리 되는 복된 성도들 되게 하여 주옵소서 감사드리며 우리 주 예수 그리스도의 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
We receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities. And for those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest. Receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, the Father who loves us. Lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and touch them with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. Light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis. He loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of empty facts, of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from birth. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away, light, come. Heavenly Father, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them, and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week, and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and places of business. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Heavenly Father, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.